You're tuned into KSJD, and this is Morning Edition. I'm Daniel Reisel. Vietnam War veteran Jim Mischke is with me now. He recently penned The Raven and the Dove, Thai Tales of Barracks, Bombers, Brothels, and Buddhas. It's a memoir coming out through the History Publishing Company. Jim, thanks for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
I wanted to start where you would with any other book, the title, of course, and you have some interesting wordplay that's going on. Why the alliteration, or I guess why those items that you chose for the alliteration?
Well, one of the reasons, of course, is just pure alliteration itself. However, those four topics are heavily dealt with within the text. They were the life of me and my comrades as we experienced working in the two largest bomb wings that were running B-52s into Vietnam, Utapao Royal Thai Air Base in southern Thailand and Kandin Air Base, Okinawa.
You worked as a B-52 bomber field maintenance worker, correct?
Right. I was a field maintenance sergeant on B-52 bombers.
And did you ever imagine getting to the point that you would want to write a memoir about your experiences?
Never while I was doing that, but I am a writer. And of course, you know, this is 50 years later. I sat down one day and just was remembering some of the experiences I'd had, which of course, this was the turning point in my life. And I just began to write them down and wrote them down quite separately. And then I recalled that I had written some other areas that had that did become chapters eventually, and began to put them together. And luckily, there's a wonderful lady in town named Jennifer Hope, who's my editor, and she kind of helped me assemble them in ways that I was actually surprised at. And so I shipped them off here and there to see who might be interested in publishing them, and they got picked up by this wonderful publisher in New York City. So my writing is just my love and my enjoyment. It's my hobby. I'm a retired college professor, so I really love the word.
Tell me a bit about the turning point when you decided now's the time for me to start writing this down.
It wasn't anything conscious. It was very much just my writing as my hobby and my joy, and whatever came. And there were different chunks of material that I recalled, and I suppose at some point, which I cannot actually identify, I just began to say, wow, well, this is sort of a story. And it just sort of grew. And then there's all of these different facets and processes of writing. You know, you're burning, you're on fire, your fingertips can't move as fast as your mind is moving. And you get what you can down on paper, and then you go back and you clean it up, and then you see where this can be added. And, you know, these facts can be included, and it becomes more historical. But I have to say, I'm a terrible prima donna. I basically think that every word that I write is my child, and I should never cut anything, and it breaks my heart, and it tears out my gut, and however, my editor has been very patient with me.
From what I was able to preview of the book, there are definitely passages that are a bit more nostalgic in some ways, reminiscing on some of the good memories that you had, but there are also moments that were darker and even more violent. How did you cope with committing those memories to paper?
Well, I think more importantly is how I dealt with the darkness as it flowed in the history of my life. For instance, I didn't put this in the book, but I was at a training base at Chanute Air Base in Rantoul, Illinois, and the captain was somewhat of a sadistic human being. And so we had no heat in the barracks. The butt cans froze solid ice. I actually contracted double pneumonia and almost died in the military hospital there. But one guy hanged himself in the barracks, and the other guys became very despairing. So what I said to them, and I hope this answers your question about the darkness, is that I said to them, look, you know, we're all going to get out of here. We're all going to walk out of this place carrying a great story, and we're going to tell our grandchildren about it. And then maybe 50 years from now, we'll laugh about it. And maybe that's a little bit of what I'm doing here.
I know you have an excerpt that you'd like to share. It's from chapter 22.
Yeah, so let's do it. Huddling into my field jacket, I am sufficiently positioned not merely to witness tires impact concrete, but to embody bone deep the whitest, the most ancient code of common paranoia. That mutually agreed upon, unspoken, never conceptualized assumption that what is unknown or unfamiliar is inherently dangerous and intends us harm. From dim eras of tribal campfires, the unknown out there in those expanses was not to be trusted. Instinct knows no compassion, no right, no wrong. Life must huddle together in order that it might go on. Defense, by the very essence of reality, is completely necessary. There would always be the enemy, lurking, skulking, stalking, waiting for the chance to spring and feast. So deep that fear, it is with me. And suddenly it is right in my face. It is just that ominous. The enemy. And the black monster bird that is driving it all screams out, cawing and croaking for victory, the engines blaring the deafening, comforting reassurance of omnipotent power. The squeak of the rubber on the concrete verifies the vigilance of empire's prerogative. What I can say now, 50 years later, is that I had stood at the spot where the first nuclear weapons were to touch down on Japanese soil since Nagasaki. Theoretically, at least, as far as the news media was concerned. A broken treaty. I had stood at that spot where the wheels of the first B-52 hitting the Kadena runway with that familiar sort of squeak marked a turning point in international relations in East Asia. And then another squeak, and another. Black monster birds of war and death careening out of the sky with ear-piercing war cries, screaming in for the kill. An apparition more ominous than any spacecraft would probably have extended, portending what seemingly would imply the demise of the species. The monsters were encroaching, hungrily, preparing for the kill, moving in, a murder of black ravens for the final carnage. Superpower had flexed its muscle, its appetite for blood, right in my face.
Jim Mischke reading an excerpt from his memoir, The Raven and the Dove, coming out through the History Publishing Company. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jim.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.